is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flato. This week, physicists at Sandia National Laboratories in New Mexico announced a new addition to the world of fusion energy research, the Z-Accelerator, a machine that generates high-energy X-rays as at long last succeeded in producing a fusion reaction. Now, fusion is the nuclear reaction that powers the sun, and needless to say, it's a very hot reaction. So creating and sustaining a fusion reaction has been quite a challenge to physicists who have been trying to tame and control nuclear fusion since the invention of the hydrogen bomb, a nuclear fusion reaction of the uncontrolled kind. So for the last 50 years, scientists have been trying to come up with ways of creating controlled fusion reactions so that newer, cleaner nuclear power plants could be designed. They've used laser beams, they've used magnetic reactors like the tokamak, to squeeze or fuse atoms, and now these physicists at Sandia say that the Z machine is simpler and cheaper than the tokamaks and lasers. It uses tungsten filaments, household electricity, and X-rays. So we'll be talking about this new approach to fusion. First up this hour, if you'd like to join in, give us a call. Our number 1-800-989-8255. 1-800-989-TALK. And as always, if you want more information on what we're talking about, you can go to our website at sciencefriday.com. Let me introduce my guest. Keith Mattson is the manager of the Inertial Confinement Fusion Program at Sandia National Laboratories in Albuquerque, and he joins us by phone. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
First of all, Dr. Mattson, what do we call this thing? I've seen it written as Z machine, Z accelerator, Z pinch. Does it have an official title?
We call it the Z facility, and of course, any of the other things you've said are appropriate because it is an accelerator of particles. So we call it more generally the Z facility.
And I understand it, that it has Z has two purposes. One is weapons research and one is to pursue this ignition of controlled fusion. Are these related?
Yes, they are. Both of them, as you pointed out earlier, are basically extreme states of matter. Like recreating the conditions in the sun is a very extreme state of matter, similar to a nuclear weapon. Mm-hmm. So using the Z facility, we can make extreme states of matter for these types of research.
Mm-hmm. Before we get into the details, give us a brief overview of how fusion works. How's that different from fission, and why it's a desirable goal?
Okay. Well, fusion is, like its name, the joining together or fusing of two light nuclei. When the nuclei join together, they release a lot of mass, or release a lot of energy. Just like the reactions in the sun. In contrast, fission is simply the breakup or fissioning of a single heavy nuclei with, again, a large release of energy.
Mm-hmm. And fusion is what created the hydrogen bomb, and fission was the original nuclear bomb.
That's correct.
Right?
That is correct.
Now, what does why this push, and we've been talking about that all happened for almost 50 years, why do you want fusion?
Well, first of all, fusion, if you look at the basic elements that make fusion, which are isotopes of hydrogen, generally deuterium and tritium, they're available everywhere. They're available in water. So it's a fuel that would be universally available everywhere. If you have a fusion reactor that's properly designed, you get around a lot of the problems of the fission reactors. First of all, it does not produce any long-lived radioactive waste. Obviously, it also, like fission, it does not produce greenhouse gases. And the way you would design one of these reactors is such that it would be impossible to have a runaway reaction or an accident. So it's safer, has less radioactive waste problems, and could be effectively an inexhaustible source of energy.
Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about the Z machine. Can you describe for us the steps and how it works?
Well, sure. There's basically two steps in the Z machine. One is to create a very powerful electrical current, and the second step is to use that current to make the fusion reaction go. So if it's okay, I can describe the first part, which is how we make the powerful electric current, and then tell how we use that to make fusion. So to make the powerful electric current, if you visualize the Z accelerator like a wagon wheel, like you'd see in the wagons in an old Western movie, for example, where there's a hub and spokes coming out from the hub to a rim on the outside. Now, except in a wagon wheel, consider it laying on the ground, and rather than being a few feet in diameter, it's a little over 100 feet in diameter. Now, on the outside, or the rim of the wagon wheel, we have capacitors, which are just basically special batteries that can be charged and discharged very quickly. We take energy off the electrical grid, the energy roughly equal to the power it takes to energize 100 homes. We take energy off the grid for about 2 minutes and charge these batteries. Then simultaneously, we discharge these capacitors or batteries in about a millionth of a second. This creates an electrical pulse that runs down towards the center, down the spokes of the wheel towards the hub of the wheel. And by the time all of these electrical pulses get to the hub, they are very, very powerful, about 10 times more powerful in electrical energy than the entire generating capacity of the world. But it only lasts for about 100 billionths of a second. So we now have this very large current, about 20 million amperes of current at several million volts of electricity. And we now want to use that to make make fusion. The way we do that is to, first of all, make X-rays. The way we make X-rays is to pass this high current through a very small array, a cylindrical array of fine wires. It kind of looks like a little birdcage, a birdcage of fine wires that's maybe 2 inches in diameter and an inch high. But each of the wires of the birdcage is, in fact, very small. These tungsten wires that you mentioned earlier are about a tenth the size of a human hair. When this very large current goes through these wires, it immediately vaporizes the wires and makes a plasma, which is like a combination of ions and electrons. So when a large current passes through these wires, it creates a very large magnetic field. And the way the magnetic field works is if you think of holding a can of soda in your hand with your fingers around the can, if the current was flowing along the surface of the can of soda, your fingers would be in the direction of the magnetic field. And just like if you squeezed your hand very, very quickly, you would crush the soda can, the magnetic field crushes these wire arrays. They drive this plasma to very high velocities, about 1,000th the speed of light. But, of course, when it comes to the center, they run into plasmas from the other side, and it becomes very hot. And this is where it gets to be. The temperatures we achieve at this point is roughly the temperatures of the center of the sun, or about 15 million degrees centigrade. So now we have, because it's hot, it makes X-rays. So we have an X-ray source that we can use to drive a fusion capsule. You can think of this sort of like an X-ray oven. You put all these X-rays in a little can and put the capsule right in the center of the can. So much like a microwave would cook food in a microwave oven, the X-rays in this little X-ray oven cook a fusion capsule. The fusion capsule heats up, it implodes, gets very hot, compresses the deuterium, and the deuterium gets hot enough and dense enough that it creates fusion.
So you have one little fusion explosion?
One little fusion explosion at the very center of this very large machine.
And this is not self-sustaining then. You'd have to then repeat this over and over again to get.
Right. Well, the goal for fusion energy is to have more energy out of the fusion reaction than you have in all of these other processes I described. So we talk about that as being fusion gain. And typical numbers you think about are having 100 times more energy out of the fusion reaction than it takes electrical energy to power the capacitors in this case. And then you use the net energy released from the fusion to power an electrical plant, to provide the heat to power electrical plant.
Are you at the point where you've gotten more energy out by the fusion reaction than all that electricity you put in?
Oh, not even close. We're about less than a millionth. The amount of energy we got out in fusion neutrons is less than a millionth of the amount of energy we put in electricity so far.
So this is
just the first step.
This is a demonstration that you can do it.
That is correct.
And then you have to scale it so you can make it.
Yes, exactly right.
Well, let me get a phone call in here. 1-800-989-8255 is our number. Let's go to Ankit in Fords, New Jersey. Hi, welcome to Science Friday.
Hi. I was wondering, I heard about this concept a while ago, I think back in 1998, where it was originally called the Z-pinch, came out of from Russian technology. But I was wondering, how much energy did you put in and how much energy did you get out? Also, how long until this concept becomes commercialized?
Okay, the energy we put into the capsule was in the energy units about 20 kilojoules. And the energy we got out in fusion was about 10 millijoules. So that's the factor of a million I was talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. We've been participating in a national fusion program plan that would, if it were funded and successful, put electricity on the national grid from a fusion reactor in 35 years.
Well, we said that 35 years ago.
Well,
cold water on it, but
as is often said, fusion is the power source of the future and will always be. But there are a couple of things that are really happening that are unique right now. The United States is considering joining the ITER project, which is the International Thermonuclear Experimental Reactor, and the NIF laser, the National Ignition Facility laser at Livermore Laboratories. Is being built right now. Both of those facilities, both from the magnetic confinement fusion approach and the inertial confinement fusion approach, are designed to demonstrate net energy gain. Mm-hmm. So there's, in the next 10 years, 10 to 15 years, I think we'll really see whether this concept of using fusion energy for reactor power will be realized.
Gosh, I remember hearing that 10 years ago. Not
yes.
not to belittle this, because I know how difficult this is. But you know, as you say, the fusion is always in the future.
Yeah.
What is your competitive advantage? We talked about there are lasers as your competition. There are these magnetic bottles as like the tokamaks as your competition. What is your competitive advantage using these X-rays?
Because of the efficiency with which we make X-rays, it reduces our cost. And if you look at a fusion reactor, one of the key items is economic feasibility. So our approach is relatively simple, it's very efficient, and it's robust. It's almost industrial technology and pulse power technologies. So it has those advantages if you can demonstrate, of course, mm-hmm. the net energy gain.
You only have a million. We have only a million of one to go.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones again, if you don't mind. Jose, and is it Crestone, Colorado?
Yes.
Hi, go ahead.
Yeah, my name is Jose Vieira, and I am calling from Colorado. My question to your guest today is, are we considering the societal impacts of this sort of research? And specifically, my grandfather was irradiated from the Trinity explosion, along with my father. And at that time, the general public was not aware of the side effects of this type of research. So my question is, are we adequately considering the societal impacts of
all right.
this type of energy?
Let me get an answer because we have a few seconds to go.
In today's world, we take the issues of radiological contamination very, very seriously. In all of our considerations, I think it's very safe relative. We know a lot more today is the bottom line, and we take that into consideration, and it's a basic consideration in all of our designs.
All right. We're going to have to go. We'll pick this up, and as we say, it's 30 years down the road. We'll be following this. Thank you very much, Dr. Mattson.
Thank you.
Keith Mattson is manager of Inertial Confinement Fusion Program at the Sandia National Laboratories in Albuquerque. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, as you've been hearing, it's a risky world out there. How do you deal with it? We'll talk with an expert at assessing risk and talk about what risks are really about, so stay with us.